Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Welcome to our next lesson in our Old Testament Bible history series. This is lesson 42 about Phinehas turning away God's wrath. Please follow along in your Bible in Numbers 22 through chapter 31. For part of this story, we're going to leave Israel and visit another nation. We're going to visit Moab, because Balak, Moab's king, is quite worried about this powerful nation of Israel. Before we get to that story, do you know what superstition is? Superstition is believing in something that is not biblical. Someone can be really nervous and not like certain numbers, or they can have a lucky number that they think brings them special luck. Being superstitious is to have a belief in something that is not biblical or even normal. Maybe people think the color black is unlucky, and so they never want to drive a black car. For some people, they go really far with this and try to get people to tell them what the future holds. Fortune tellers know that superstitious people are willing to pay money for this, and they pretend to be able to tell the future and take advantage of people's superstitions to make a lot of money. In today's story, we're going to meet one of these people, Balaam the magician, Balaam the fortune teller. Balaam was greedy and selfish and loved himself. But if you met him on the street, you would not think so, because people bowed before him and treated him with a lot of respect. Balaam was famous. People were actually a bit nervous about Balaam. Nobody wanted to get a dark look and a curse from Balaam, because then bad things would happen to them and their life would be unhappy. People wanted Balaam to smile at them and speak nicely to them, because then their life would be happy. People would only whisper quietly about Balaam's supposed connection to the gods. People would pay a lot of money and come from very far to hear Balaam tell them about their future. Balaam would charge the people a lot of money to just mumble a few words. Balaam knew that people were kind of scared and nervous about him. He knew that they feared him. And so he would just tell them whatever they wanted to hear and take their money. Balaam wanted money, plain and simple. The Apostle Peter describes him as loving the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam is a bit of a mystery, because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And based on the Bible, he seems to know about Jehovah, the God of Israel. Indeed, you will find out in this story that God even shows him his will. But while we do not exactly know how much Balaam knew about God, we know that Balaam loved himself instead of God. One day, some messengers came from the south, from Midian and Moab. They came from Balak, the king of Moab, carrying a lot of gifts. This got Balaam's attention, of course. What was the message from Balak for Balaam? He complained about the people of Israel who have escaped from Egypt and just defeated Sihon and Og. O great magician Balaam, please come and shake your fist at this people. Curse them for us. Then we'll be able to defeat them. The gifts and the gold coins in front of Balaam were pretty tempting, but Balaam was a little nervous as well. Deep down, he knew he was a fake, and he also knew that the God of this nation of Israel was the one true God, the supreme creator. He says, "I'll let you know tomorrow," he says to the messengers. And that night, God comes to Balaam and tells him, "Do not curse this people. They are a blessed people." He lets the messengers know the Lord will not allow him to go with them. And he watches them leave with their gifts and gold. Not many days after this, the messengers return. But this time, Balak, the king, sends even more important men to convince Balaam how serious he was about his offer. "I will reward you tremendously. I will do anything you ask if you just come and curse Israel for me." Balaam is really tempted, but says he cannot go against the command of God. Balaam tells them, "Stay overnight again, wondering if there is a way to get the riches and the gifts and to avoid God's command to him." And this time, God says to Balaam, "Go with them, but remember to do exactly as I tell you." Let me pause here. God first said no to Balaam, and now he says yes. Balaam sinned in asking a second time because God was so clear in his answer the first time. Now Balaam will need to learn a painful lesson because he refused to listen to God's commands. Feeling one step closer to getting paid richly by Balak, Balaam rides his donkey along the road south to Moab. Suddenly, the donkey swerves off the road and runs into a field. Balaam is mad because he was almost thrown off. He hits his donkey to get it back on the road and continues on. Farther on, in a narrow part of the road, the donkey acts up again. This time it jumps to the side and squeezes Balaam's foot against the wall next to the path. Balaam curses his donkey, beats it, and continues on. There's no reason the donkey should behave like this. A little further down the road, the donkey acts up again. Trembling with fright, the donkey lays down in the road. Balaam is furious because this animal is keeping him from getting to his destination. Again, he hits his animal. But this time, the donkey talks back to him. "What have I done to deserve these beatings? I have never done this before to you." And suddenly, Balaam the magician saw what God was hiding from him up until now. There, in the path ahead of him, was a brilliant angel holding a sword. The angel says, your donkey saved your life those three times. If your donkey had not stopped, you would have kept going, and I would have killed you. Balaam seems humbled and ready to turn around, admitting his failure. But God demands Balaam to go on. He will now deliver God's message, whether he likes it or not. After arriving in Moab, Balaam the magician, Balak the king, and other important men from Midian and Moab go to the top of a mountain. Altars are built and sacrifices offered. Balaam's heart is dark, his mood grim. He remembers God's command to only say what God has told him, but he wants to curse these people of Israel that he sees below him in the valley. He wants to get his reward from Balak. He does not want to obey God. He raises his arms over the valley where the Israelites are camped. His mouth opens to curse them. Balak waits to hear the curse. But something has happened to Balaam. He's not able to curse the people. He can only bless them. Listen to him. I cannot curse those whom God has not cursed. I would love to be like a mighty Israelite and die among them. Balak is furious. I told you to curse them, and now you have blessed them. How dare you? Balak and Balaam try a second time in a different place. More altars, more sacrifices, more effort by Balaam, but he's not in control of himself anymore. Listen to him bless Israel a second time. If God chooses to bless someone, there is nothing I can do about it. Israel is a blessed people because God is with that people. They try a third time. And this time, Balaam gives an even greater blessing. He sings about the beauty and strength of Israel and about the special happiness of the future of the Lord's people. Balak the king is furious, and he commands Balaam to get out and to return home. God uses Balaam once more to sing another song. And this time he sang about a future star that would appear in Israel's heaven, a star of Jacob. This star would be the mighty king who would defeat Moab and reign as king forever. Balaam's heart was filled with hatred, and he gives Balak some wicked advice. He says that Balak should organize sinful feasts that lure the Israelites into idol worship and into sinful relationships. This would do what Balaam was not able to do. Sure enough, the Israelites rebelled again. They forgot their God. They kneeled down before the idols of Moab. They ate and drank and sinned by worshiping the false idol gods. The Israelite men began sinful relationships with women from Moab. The Israelites were nearly ready to enter the promised land, and they broke their covenant relationship with God. They were to be a holy and a separate people. Instead, they broke God's command and mixed with other nations. This sin was so terrible that God commanded their immediate punishment. While some of the people were mourning over this sin, Zimri, one of the Israelite men, took a woman from Midian to his tent in full view of the others. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, who was a priest, was furious about this bold and open sin. He took his spear and he killed both of this man and woman for their sin against God. This stopped the plague that came upon this people for their punishment. But not before 24,000 people died. The Lord told Moses that Phinehas showed great courage and zeal for the Lord's honor. He had turned away the Lord's wrath. For this, he and his family would receive a reward from God, an everlasting priesthood. After this plague, Moses spoke to Eleazar the priest to begin the final preparations for their entry into Canaan. This census, or counting the people, only applied to the men 20 years of age and older. Aside from Caleb and Joshua and Moses, none remained from the previous generation of Israelites to see this new promised land. Joshua is about to become a key figure in our story of the nation of Israel. You see, Moses at this time is told by God of his coming death. Moses, showing his love for the nation of Israel, prays to God for a new leader for Israel. He does not want them to wander as sheep with no shepherd. And God tells Moses that Joshua will be the next leader of Israel. While Joshua was known as a courageous fighter against Amalek and a faithful helper of Moses, what was most important was that he had the Spirit of God's grace. Before Moses would be taken home by God, he is divinely commanded to fight a war against Midian. Fighting this war was different than other wars. This fighting against Midian was divinely appointed. Israel was following God's command to carry out God's punishment against the wicked Midianites. The kings of Midian were killed. Balaam is also killed. The women and children were spared and brought back to Israel's camp. Moses had to sternly remind the people of Israel that they were carrying out God's righteous punishment on this nation, and it was the woman who had caused the nation of Israel to sin so terribly earlier in this story. The women who were guilty were also killed. The ones who they knew were not guilty of leading Israel astray were spared alive. This war was a just and a proper one because it was divinely commanded by God himself. After the battle, the people of Israel had to purify themselves and the goods that they carried back from Midian. Not one single soldier of Israel had died in this battle. Let us consider just two lessons that we can learn from this story and why it is included in the Bible. First, let's think about what we learn about who God is. And next, let's consider the character of Phinehas. Consider who God is. Balaam is given the words in Numbers 23. He says, "God is not a man that he should lie. We are human, and therefore we lie. We are all sinners. We are not perfect. We change our mind. We do not keep our promises. Our word is never final all the time. But that is not God. God never lies. God is perfect. He keeps his promises. His word is sure and final. He does not repent like man. He may change his way or method, but never his mind. When God has spoken, he will make it happen. This means that God's promises in his word to his people are completely dependable and trustworthy. God, who cannot lie, promised the hope of eternal life before the world began. See Titus 1 verse 2. Not only is God trustworthy, but he cannot change. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Malachi 3 verse 6. Not only can God make a promise, but he has the power to make it come true. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Romans 4 verse 21. All of God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Consider God's promise in Romans 10 verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That is 100% dependable, and no enemy of God or his people can ever make them ashamed. Next, let's consider Phinehas, the man who delivered Israel from a plague that they deserved. He is a type of Christ, a picture of the future Messiah. Phinehas's love for the honor and the glory of God was rewarded with a covenant of peace and an everlasting priesthood. The Lord Jesus, of course, also is a priest forever. Phinehas stopped those who were going to lead Israel away from God. He took his spear and killed the man and the woman who were about to commit a grievous sin against God. He was praised for his zeal and rewarded. This event appears in Psalm 106, where his actions are counted unto him for righteousness. Phinehas had a desire for the glory of God, and in doing this, he turned away the wrath of God, and he stopped the plague. The Lord Jesus wanted to glorify his Father also, and when he faced his coming suffering and death on the cross, he yet prayed, "Father, glorify thy name." He looked for his Father's honor, and through his work as a mediator, he turned away God's wrath by completely satisfying the demands of the law. In this lesson, we have seen an interesting story of Balaam and Balak. We have seen Joshua introduced as the future leader of Israel. We have also seen Phinehas turning away God's wrath. We have seen how Phinehas is a picture of the future Messiah, a type of Christ. In our next lesson, we're going to learn about the cities of refuge.